This is September the 1st, chapel service with Dr. George Braswell, professor of missions and world religions, and a summer praxis report.
Let's turn in the back of our hymnals to the responsive reading number 606. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me.
And he said, Go. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your great and unconditional love, so great that you gave your child, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins, and for his example of spreading the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Let us rise to this example and challenge Christ has given us in sharing you. As it is said in the Great Commission, we are to go and tell the world. Through this, we can experience the joy of our salvation. Give us the peace and assurance from the Holy Spirit to share abundantly with those who we come in contact with daily. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For some 14 summers, Southeasterners have gone out across this nation in church planting. We have been in some 25 to 28 states. We have gone to places like Brooklyn, Greenwich Village, Long Island, New York, Boston Harbor, cornfields of Nebraska, Spanish communities in New Jersey and Miami, coal fields of West Virginia, through South Carolina coastal areas, the mountains of Western North Carolina, the suburbs of D.C., including Northern Virginia and Maryland, to places like Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach, Florida, and many others. A great mix of America where we have felt led to go and preach the gospel, teach the good news, sow the seed, plant and build churches. So this generation of Southeasterners behind me and in front of me and other places have this summer been involved in church planting in places like South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland, and Oklahoma City. Tim Howard went down to the area of Columbia, South Carolina, and worked with the Columbia Metro Mission and trying to start new work in the Lake Mary area outside of Columbia. His partner was Lewis McMullen, who graduated in May but had been a church planter praxis a couple of summers ago in upstate New York. Tim couldn't bring him back, and so he's now working in church planting in South Carolina. Donda and Lisa Pace went to Rockville, Maryland area this summer, and as a team worked for over 10 weeks trying to start new work out near Gaithersburg, Maryland. John Dogan from Nigeria came to Southeastern in January and caught a vision to do church planting. His wife was not with him then, but John went on out the last of May to Oklahoma City to work with the Exchange Avenue Baptist Church, a great missionary-minded church in Oklahoma City. His wife, Stella, a medical doctor in Nigeria, was able to join him in July, leaving her medical practice. And by the time I got to Oklahoma City this summer, she was out there knocking on doors with John and trying to start Bible studies and to build a church. That's what Southeastern is about in church planting. And without any further introduction, they now will come and share with you their story.
What did you do with your summer? Without everyone responding at once, I'll tell you what Lisa, my wife, and I did for ours. We responded to a call from God to be praxis students in Maryland. We specifically worked in a small suburb called Germantown, Maryland, approximately 20 miles north-northwest of Washington, D.C. This little suburb has the fastest growing zip code on the eastern seaboard. It is wall-to-wall people, and we found ditch-to-ditch cars. Lisa and I spent 10 weeks there. Our specific purpose for being there was to start a Bible study which would lead into a church, or at least to lay the foundation so that a Bible study or worship service could be started with adequate follow-up. That is the purpose of praxis, to work cultivatively in nurturing relationships, making contact with people, adults and children, and offering ministry in unique and creative ways. We rationalize that one of the most effective ways to reach masses of people is to plant new churches and then to teach those new churches how to also plant others. So, as a result, the birthing process ends up being multiplication instead of addition. We don't want to simply add to the church, we want to multiply almost exponentially. Lisa and I, first of all, tried to assess the needs of that particular community in which we were trying to plant a church by sending out 5,000 letters to homes in the community. In those letters, we had a cover letter stating our intentions and also a little stamped card which they could send back in which we could evaluate the opportunity for ministry in which they saw that they had a need for. And that in itself was an invitation for ministry if they sent it back. Some folks responded by sending the card in with multiple checks on all of the ministries, and one even starred the most important ones for her and her family. Another wrote in the other section that we had at the bottom of the card that she felt like she had a need for GAs and RAs. Of course, we know what background she's from. Upon evaluating the need for ministry, after we had assessed all of the needs, Lisa and I offered 6 backyard Bible clubs and 1 mission vacation Bible school as we worked with and coordinated 2 youth mission teams, one from Alabama and one from Arkansas, and also 4 summer missionaries. We had the opportunity to plan, to organize, to implement, to evaluate, to coordinate, to walk, talk, preach, sing, construct, and present with very little time to neither laugh nor cry. But yet, when we were the most tired, the sweatiest, irritated, swamped with a load of projects, and guilty because we had let our devotional lives go to pot, and outright at our wits' end, the experience was worth it all when that one little sweaty-faced, loud-mouthed grasshopper of a boy, and may I add with cookie crumbs on his cheeks and Kool-Aid on his mouth, came to us and said, "Thank you for all this. I've learned a lot, and I'm having a bunch of fun." Or the experience was equally rewarding when you see a little boy or girl in a little group setting raise his or her little hand to accept Jesus as Savior. Passage comes to my mind when Jesus spoke that he said in Matthew 18:5, "And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Or it was equally as rewarding when a mother would come up to you with tears in her eyes and say, thank you so much for caring about my neighborhood, about my community, and especially about my children. It is most gratifying, however, to know that perhaps 10, 20, 30 years, maybe even centuries down in time, that that little suckling of a church, a handful at first, may do a mighty work for God. Untold dozens of pastors may come out of that church. Untold thousands of people may be saved. Untold thousands may hear the gospel preached. Untold number of new churches may be started and multiplied, reaching out in obedience to the Great Commission. What is praxis for us then? Sure, it is a 10-week temporary work with some hardship, some study, and a lot of hard work. But it is moreover one which is a call from God for the seminarians to build His church. If you are seeking God's will for yourself or for a place of ministry, then I believe an adequate invitation at this time would be offered to you, as Yahweh spoke to Isaiah, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?"
We were posted to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We worked with Exchange Avenue Baptist Church. This is a predominantly white church. Most of our members have moved out of the city to live in the suburbs. Those around now were mainly blacks, Hispanics, Indians, and a few other low socioeconomic class individuals. There is a nearby government housing where most of the individuals live on Social Security. There's a lot of single parents in that environment too. The church therefore took a hard decision to remain and reach out to this changing community, since this was the crisis they were facing. We conducted a community survey of households. We knocked on several doors, filling out survey cards and cards on those who were willing to respond. And we found out their names, length of stay in the community, their church preference, and then the frequency of attendance in the churches. We invited those who were out of church or had no church preference to attend Exchange Avenue Baptist Church. We then tried to meet some of their material needs. We also tried to get a record of those who were interested in the Bible study, which we plan to start in the community. We now got this one started about the fourth week of our stay in Oklahoma City. So this was what we were involved in generally, because this was the greatest need of the church over there.
I went to Oklahoma City. My flight was arranged. My wife was supposed to have gone with me. And sitting down on that plane, looking at the empty seat beside me, where my beautiful wife should have sat, I said I had a mission anyway. I was going to go. And so I got to Oklahoma City, and the pastor, Reverend Ken Keller, met me at the airport. We went to the place that I will be staying for 10 weeks, and I slept that day with thanksgiving on my heart that God has led me to Oklahoma City. The next day we began walking with my partner from Southern Seminary, Brenda K. Griffin. She and I went round about the church community, knocking on doors. We knocked on probably 600 doors. In some of the places we knocked, we were turned down outrightly. The people who say, "We don't want you here. We don't want to hear anything about church." But then in some of the places we knocked, people opened their house to us, and we came in and shared the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I never will forget the experience we had with a woman. She was facing a crisis. And when we knocked on her door, she said, "Who are you?" We said, "Well, we're from Exchange Avenue Baptist Church, a church right on the corner of Penn and Exchange. We want to share with you if you have a minute. She said, no, I don't have a minute. I am busy. I want to go to work. Leave me alone. And then we smile to her and we say, we're sorry. We didn't know you're busy. We'll come some other time. And then as she was about walking in, she stopped and said, well, you come in. And we came in and we spoke to this lady. We started by wanting her to vent what was on our mind. And she started telling us her frustration, how things were not working for her, how that she's lost her job. And in that, we spoke to her. And at the end of that day, she came smiling, beaming with joy, for she's had somebody listening to her. Never will forget another couple. We knocked on this couple's door, Fred and Charlotte. And we said, well, we're from Exchange Avenue Baptist Church. What we're here for is to survey the community and find out their needs because we want to minister to this community. And Fred said, well, I don't trust pastors. I don't trust pastors because most of the pastors are there to make a living. I don't want to hear anything about the church. I was once church, but I don't go to church anymore. I don't fool around with that. Well, we say, Fred, our main interest in you is not to get you to go to church. Our main interest with you is to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, of truth, there are some pastors out there in the field who are there just to make a living. But there may be some sincere ones who are there to serve the Lord. And as we spoke to Fred and Charlotte about our plan to start a Bible study right there in their neighborhood, could you believe that Fred and Charlotte became the sponsor of the Bible study in that community? God is in the business of opening doors. Because this couple, although resisted us at first, became the very foundation members of the Bible study we started. And I was amazed the very first day we had the Bible study, Fred and Charlotte were there before us, sweeping the community hall. And for every day, we had the Bible study for 6 weeks after the Bible study started, the fourth week, Fred and Charlotte were always first, even before us, to the Bible study. I believe that one day God will impress on their heart to join a local expression of his kingdom, the church. Again, there was a black lady that we met, Maria. As we spoke to Maria about the love of God, Maria said, I have just moved to this community. I have been here for about 3 months. I've been longing to belong to a church. You're the first people to invite me to come to church. Folks, there are men and women out there, men moving into communities, seeking for church homes, but having nobody invite them to come. And some of these ones will just stay in that new community without being church members. Would to God that some of us will take the initiative of inviting them. Well, we did that to Fred and Charlotte, to Maria. And before we left Oklahoma City, Maria joined Exchange Avenue Baptist Church and became a faithful member in attending. Not only that, we had numerous experiences of single parents torn by the burden of raising a family. We invited them to the vacation Bible study. And for the first time for some of these kids, their experience with the church, coming to where other people, little children like them, love the Lord, sing, Jesus loves me, This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This was their first time singing such a song, and the joy in their heart for an opportunity like that. We're thankful to be involved in Exchange Avenue Baptist Church and in Praxis. It was a challenge, no doubt, as Pace has enumerated. It's hard work walking out in the heat of the sun and knocking on doors and dripping all over. But the joy is that some come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some find a church home and find a new family. Little children begin to find a place that is different from their scattered environment, a loving church home. If I'm a member of the faculty, which I'll never be, I'd like to make this course a required course. But I'm not, and so I'm not going to do that. But then it is open to all Southeasterners who want to avail themselves of the opportunity of going out there in the field and be involved in something that is practical. My ministry and my life will not be the same because of the experience I had in Oklahoma City.
On building the church, being co-partners with God in helping to bring in the kingdom of God on earth. I think we have seen and had a glimpse of a good marriage between Southeastern Seminary, Home Mission Board, Baptist State Conventions, associations and local churches, and foreign missions, in that integration and entwining of God's calling to all of us to be involved in building His kingdom, building His church, and serving God. They'll be at the front if you'd like to speak to them after the service. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day, for the witnesses we have heard. We pray as we leave this place that Your kingdom may come and that Your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.